Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
This is Pastor Jonathan McLean. Thank you so much for joining us today. At this time, we're going to be going to a message that was delivered on September the 9th, The Will of God for the Nations. This is part two.
Amos starts with this God report that is to be delivered to the seven nations surrounding Israel. Might be good for the nations surrounding Israel to read this report. Because sometimes we read in the Old Testament, we think, oh, well, all of that has to do with Israel, has really nothing to do with us. And wait a minute, we're grafted in. So if it has something to do with Israel, it has something to do with us. And we need to take note. So we have in Amos, verse 3, it says, the people of Damascus have sinned again and again. And God says, I will not forget it. And then he begins to talk about what's going to happen to the people of Damascus. Little bit of war going on up in that neighborhood today, right? So when you look at this, they beat down my people in Gilead as grain is threshed with the threshing sledges of iron. So I will send down fire on King Hazael's palace and the fortress. I'll break down the gates of Damascus. I'll slaughter its people all the way to the valley of Avon. See, these demonic strongholds that are in these nations keep being brought back up. Verse 6, this is what the Lord says, the people of Gaza. Have you heard anything about Gaza recently? The people of Gaza. Here they are in the book of Amos. The demonic strongholds are still manifesting. Here they are. The people of Gaza have sinned again and again, and God says, I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They sent my people into exile, selling them as slaves in Edom. I will send down fire on the walls of Gaza, and all its fortresses will be destroyed. Now we have Israel saying, no, we don't negotiate for land or for peace without the warriors surrendering and laying down all their weapons. Hello, they're getting it now. We can't trade land for peace. It's not Israel's, the nation, the government's land to negotiate with. And it certainly is not the United States' role to be over there splitting up the land of Israel. What a dangerous place for any nation to be in. God says, I will slaughter the people of Ashdod and destroy the king of Ashkelon, and I will turn to attack Ekron. Verse 9 says, the people of Tyre have sinned. Verse 11, the people of Edom have sinned again and again. These are all the surrounding people around Israel. Look at verse 13. This is what the Lord says, the people of Ammon have sinned again and again. Is God watching what's going on in the nations? He is aware of what's going on in the nations. So we see this in this passage where the Lord is taking note of all the surrounding nations. Then in verse 4, the people of Judah have sinned again and again as well. Now these are God's people. And God said, I will not forget it, and I will not let them go unpunished any longer. And how many of you know that Israel as a nation has been punished to the point of only God could keep them in existence? How many have tried to destroy them as a nation? And this is because of their sin. Part of my prayer is that the leadership in Israel will stand up and say, we are in the mess we're in as a nation because look at our history. We have rebelled repeatedly against God. We did things our way. We're calling the nation to repentance and return to God. I'm praying for that kind of an awakening in Israel. We know the day will come when Jesus is going to come and there is going to be that great awakening. But here we see it with Judah. We see it with the people of Israel in verse 6, the people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. So to the seven neighbors, God says, I'm watching what you're doing. I'm going to hold you accountable. And then in chapter 3, we begin to see this statement that God makes in verse 6. When the war trumpet blares, shouldn't the people be alarmed? In other words, when there's war, when there's sounds of war, and you know unless something happens, the enemy's trying to stir up World War III. I'm not a warmonger this morning, but I'll just tell you, the nations are in a mess. And what's going on right now, unless some kind of sanity comes? I mean, we're in the Word of God. The Word of God is saying things are coming to a close. God may give us another little bit of time. I don't know. But what is taking place is right in the Word of God. When disaster comes to a city, isn't it because the Lord allowed it? A lot of people say God's not involved in what's going on. God's not involved in the tornadoes. God's not involved in the earthquakes. God's not involved in the floods. God's not involved in the wars. God's not involved. God is sovereign. Let me tell you, God is sovereign. God rules over everything on this earth. God is sovereign. He gives us free will. And we can either respond to Him or we can reject Him. But we don't have another choice. We don't have a choice to say, I'm neutral. I hear a lot of individuals saying today, oh, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. Okay. All right. What does that mean? Does that mean you don't have the guts to say who you're going to vote for? Does that mean you're embarrassed to say who you're going to vote for? I mean, come on, family. Is this too strong this morning? What is this saying? I'm neutral. You know, I'm not going to side. I'm not going to side. Let me tell you, God has a side. God has a side. And either I'm going to stand with the truth, which is where God is, or I'm going to reject it and I'm going to stand against God and against the truth. But if I stand against Him, then my heart is going to be hardened every time I do it. Hello? Smile. We'll all feel good. Don't leave yet. Not time to leave yet. Hang on a few more minutes. So God says, isn't it because I planned it? And then He talks about what He's done. And I did a bunch of research on the lion roaring. There are a lot more worship songs coming out about the lion roaring. Here is one of those, verse 8. The lion has roared. This is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And you do a little research on that. Pull it up on your phone. It's an interesting study. But the roaring of the lion is when God begins to show up and saying, I am on the move. The lion has roared. Tremble in fear. The sovereign Lord has spoken. I dare not refuse to proclaim His message. And drop down to chapter 4 now. Chapter 4. And listen to what God says. I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you wouldn't return to me. First, God comes with the prophet. You don't listen to the prophet? Then God's merciful. He loves us. He wants us to be saved. They killed the prophets. They stoned the prophets. They didn't want to hear what the true prophets said. You know what they did? They hired false prophets. And that's what the Word of God says. You're either a hireling or you're working for God as a minister. You can't serve the people as a hireling and serve God at the same time. Either you're going to serve money or you're going to serve God. You've got to decide what you're going to do. And so this passage lays this out. And I know a lot of modernists and a lot of pastors would never read this on a Sunday morning, but I will. I will. I brought hunger. God says, tell them that God says, I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you wouldn't return. God was knocking on the door saying, I'm trying to get your attention. I kept rain from falling when you needed it most, ruining all your crops. And I sent rain on one town, withheld it from another. People staggered from town to town. But still, they wouldn't return to me. God said, I'm trying to get your attention, planet Earth. I struck your farms and vineyards with blight and mildew. Oh, we're so smart. We have chemicals for that now, right? I'm in the grocery store to get breakfast cereal. My wife said, make sure you check to see whether or not it has GMOs in it. Modified. Right, honey? Bioengineered stuff. Check and see what's in there. Yeah, what? Our solutions to fight against the result of sin has been to develop chemicals and chemistry and science to fight the results of our rebellion against God. But still you wouldn't return to me, God says. I sent plagues against you like the plagues I sent against Egypt long ago. Whoever is responsible for the COVID, I believe God was knocking on the door of every living, breathing person on the planet saying, listen, will you return to me, even through COVID? You may not agree with me, and that's fine. I killed your young men in war. I slaughtered your horses, but still you wouldn't return to me. God says, I destroyed some of your cities. Oh, here it is. As I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but still you wouldn't return to me. Therefore, I will bring upon you all these further disasters I've announced. And then we have this verse, which my father painted this on the side of his van. People thought the McLeans, we were nuts. We would go down to West Palm. We had signs up. We were giving out tracts. And this was one of Dad's favorite verses. Prepare to meet your God. We need that message, don't we? In America, we need that message. Prepare to meet your God. I'm ready. How many are ready out here this morning? Say, hallelujah, I'm ready. I'm prepared to meet my God. Let me tell you, a lot of people are not ready to meet God. People would walk across the street so they didn't have to pass where we were on the street corner. They didn't want to see, because Dad painted fire, you know, on the bottom of things, and he had coolers out with flames coming up. Prepare to meet thy God. No one wanted to see that. They said, you guys are nuts. He also said, we better do something. This was back, 40 years ago, or prayer and Bible reading is going to be taken out of the schools. And even the preacher said, McLean's nuts. But it happened while we slept. Prepare to meet your God as He comes in judgment, you people of Israel. Wow. Well, that's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. In fact, before we leave Amos, verse 6 in chapter 5 says, come back to the Lord and live. Come back and live. You see, even when God's saying, I'm allowing all of this stuff, all of this is coming against you, God says, come back. It's not too late. You're still able to hear. I'm still speaking to you. Come back to the Lord and live. And if you don't, He will roar through Israel like a fire. Of course, we know of what took place. Well, we're going to have to go to Joel, and we're going to finish up in Joel. There's so much in Amos. And Joel is the book next door to the left, Joel. And in Joel chapter 2, and I'm just going to hit these points quick, there's like 6 things here in Joel I want you to see. And I know some of you don't write in your Bibles, and it's kind of hard to write on your phone. Don't write on your phone, but that might mess it up. But we're going to start with verse 12 in Joel. Turn to me now while there is time, and give me your hearts. This is God's heart. It's not to destroy. It's not to let go of us, but God's heart is, turn to me now while there's time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. And don't tear your clothing in your grief. Instead, let your hearts be rended. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious. He is gracious. He's merciful. And we sing that, God is good, all the time. And we even say, God is good, all the time. Yeah, you see, this is God is good. God saying, even though you've chosen to go your own way, and your own way is destroying you and destroying your families, it's destroying your nation, yet I'm a merciful God and I'm calling you back. He is not easily angered. He is filled with kindness and eager not to punish you. Man, we all ought to read the book of Joel. It's a good book. Who knows? Who knows? Perhaps God will even yet give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of a terrible curse. Boy, Nineveh, they understood that, didn't they? And Nineveh, remember, they fasted, they prayed, went, put on sackcloth. God had mercy on them. All right, it goes on to talk about call a time of fasting and seeking God. All right, so now let's go to chapter 2, verse 21. Verse 21, don't be afraid. Oh, I missed 17 part of it, didn't I? I better go back. The priests who minister in the Lord's presence will stand before the people on the altar weeping. Let them pray. Okay, this is about their prayer. Spare your people, Lord. They belong to you, so don't let them become an object of mockery. Spare your people. Can we agree in praying that? Lord, spare our nation. Spare your people. Verse 21, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid, my people. Be glad now and rejoice because the Lord has done great things. Drop down to verse 25. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the stripping locust, cutting locust, swarming locust, and hopping locust. All of those bad bugs that ate everything up around you and devoured everything. That is sin. That's sin seeking to destroy. God says, as you come back in repentance, come back to me, I will restore what has been stolen from you. And then let's drop down to verse 27. Then you will know that I am here among my people. Then you will know. This is part of my burden and part of my prayer that people who do not believe in Jesus, have not received Jesus, that when they see the church and they see you and they see me, that God in us will convince them that God is real because He resides within His people. Wednesdays we're talking about the restoration of all of the manifestation of God as it was at Pentecost when the church was birthed, and God's desire to have a church without spot or wrinkle for the returning of the Lord. And I see God at work in this. Then you will know that I'm here among my people of Israel, and that I alone am the Lord your God, and that my people will never again be disgraced like this. And this day is coming for Israel. Then in verse 28, then after I poured out my rains again, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. After I have poured out my rains again. Did you see that again? There's a former rain and there's a latter rain. There's the rain that awakens the seed as it breaks forth in the ground and begins to come forth and it begins to pop up out of the earth. There's a rain that's needed for that to happen. But then after I have poured out my rains again, we used to sing that song, It's Beginning to Rain. I believe in this day where Satan acts like he owns the stage, that the rain is coming again. I believe there's going to be a latter day rain before the Lord comes back, before He takes us out of here. I'm believing that we're going to see in our nations and the nations of the earth those who we've been praying for, that many, many hundreds and thousands will come in the latter rain. They may not have come in the early, but it's not too late yet. After I poured out my rains again, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Ah, now you know how this all ties in, don't you? Here it is. It's in the book of Acts, isn't it? This very passage in the book of Acts, tied in with all of these scriptures. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Revelation tells us that prophecy, biblical prophecy, is boldly declaring Jesus Christ. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your old men. We have any sons and daughters here? First, I'm a son. Got any daughters here? I think we have sons and daughters here, right? But some of us, as sons and daughters, have sons and daughters, right? So we can claim this for our families too. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. I'm not going to ask if there's any old codgers here, but I guess maybe I should, because it says your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. And Chris is seeing visions, so he's a young man. But what is the word? What is the promise? What is that outpouring that came with the birth of the church? It is that none of us will be barren. You're not praying in vain. You're not believing in vain for your families to be saved. You are not ministering in vain. You're not serving in vain. God is continuing to pour out, and He's continuing to give the dreams and the visions, and His Holy Spirit is continuing to come forth from the heavens. God's not finished with us. God's not finished with us. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants. Now, you ladies know you're in here, don't you? Yeah. Men and women, how? Alike. We should all say, alike. Men and women alike And so that means you, you young ladies, you can have some visions, and you older ladies, you can have dreams too, right? Some of you do. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. Yes, I'll cause wonders of the heavens on the earth. And then we come to verse 32. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I told you, you had to wait till the end to get the full context of the whole message, because in this day, this is the church day. Even when the church is a little lukewarm in a lot of places, the church isn't all lukewarm. A lot of you are on fire. A lot of you are walking in the Spirit. A lot of you are believing for signs and wonders. A lot of you are seeking God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. A lot of you understand that we are the salt and we are the light. And that is what is preserving this nation as it is today. If the church was caught away this morning, which we could be, but if the church was caught away this morning, this earth would rock and roll with the outpouring of the darkness of all hell. The church, wherever we are, wherever you are, Cynthia, the darkness is restrained. Wherever you are, Joan, wherever you are, the darkness is arrested. Wherever you are, Nick, in your business, wherever you are, Marcy, wherever you are, Michael, wherever you are, the darkness is arrested, because the darkness cannot extinguish the light. You are the light of the world. What does the Word say? Make sure there's not a basket over your light. Men don't put a covering over the light. No. As a city on a hill, may the church be raised up. And may we recognize this morning that while some are pushing against the truth, we are going to keep bringing it on. We're not going to be quiet. We're not going to sit down. We're not going to back up. We're going to keep standing, and we're going to keep believing, because it's not too late. Because whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Let's break bread. Amen. Amen. So glad Bill's back. He's going to be reminding me that these are exciting days. These are exciting days. Amen. Thank you. We have open communion. If you are joining us today on live stream, I would welcome you to break bread with us this morning. When I say we have open communion, I'm simply saying that you don't have to be a member of this church or a member of any denomination. If you are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and Jesus is Lord of your life, then you have rights to come to the Lord's table. And we don't break bread in communion every week because we have to, but we do because we can and we like to. Because when we bring the bread, you know, we lift the bread, we lift the cup, and we recognize Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood. I want you to remember me. I want you to remember me." You ever get a card from someone that you haven't heard from in a long time? People are starting to show up again. It's kind of cool. Sometimes people just show up in the radio station. I'm like, I haven't seen them in 10 years or 15 years. They just show up. I'm like, man, I didn't even know you were in the area. Where have you been? God is beginning to reconnect a lot of us. I believe God is warming the hearts of many of His people and stirring inside of us an excitement and anticipation that we need to get things in order. Because the time is near. The time is near. If Frida was here this morning, Frida would be saying, "Pastor, tell them Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon." Frida's right. Jesus is coming soon. These are exciting days. The Word says that Jesus wants us to remember Him. I like it when people remember and stop in and say hello. Some aren't as relational as God would like them to be. In communion's a time when God calls us, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember what I did. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about how much I love you. I want you to think about what it cost me to send my son. Send my only son to give his life to pay for all of your sins that you could have eternal life. Isn't that awesome? What a great gift. And then to be able to receive that and to remember the Lord and take the bread and remember, yes, in his body he came, he took on flesh, he became one of us to relate to us, to understand our weaknesses. Our weaknesses. I'm so glad that Jesus understands my weaknesses. Because I have a lot. Maybe none of you have a lot of weaknesses, but I have a lot of weaknesses. The Apostle Paul, he said, I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. Let me tell you, Jesus understands them all. We remember he came in flesh. He was tempted like we are, so he could understand exactly what we're going through this morning. This is the love of God. So Father, we lift up the bread. We lift up the cup. We lift up the body, we lift up the blood. We declare that you're Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth. And we come into your presence this morning to remember you. Celebrate the awesome gift of life and salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And Father, we recognize that this is the meal that declares that we have accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. If you're in this room or you're listening, you're watching, and you have not personally believed in your heart and repented of your sins and turned to God, why not do it now so you can join us this morning as we remember, Jesus, you did this for me. For me. Remember that if you were the only one on the whole planet, God loves you enough that Jesus would have come, I do believe. If you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, surrendered your life, turned from your sin to God this morning, may the Holy Spirit come into your heart and into your life and fill you and baptize you. May you have the assurance of life everlasting within you this morning. In Jesus' name, let's receive the bread together. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Our sin required a blood sacrifice from a perfect life. And only Jesus had that. Thank you for loving me like that. Father, be with those that join us in live stream as we break bread together. Minister to our hearts. Let's receive.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
This world is falling apart, dying for love from a broken heart. Oh, here